just to suggest that we learn to love our neighbours as ourselves in the way Jesus invites us into, as we learn to weave threads of loving connection into the relationships that we have in our lives. Just a simple thought to sit with. But this blanket up here on the stage is a very special blanket. There's a lot of people in this church, and some of them are here today, maybe all of them, I don't know, who have invested in it. Just want to show it to you. I should wear it. Yeah, let me do this. I'm going to get all sweaty underneath it this morning. But this is the blanket. Now, people in the room know the story of this blanket, so I tell the story of it in a way that is incorrect or doesn't honor the mana of this blanket. And you get it. My understanding of the backstory to this is that it was in part inspired by Daphne. Somebody within the life of this church. And then there was a retreat that was held, and on that retreat, those with more skill in the whānau, they laid all the pieces of this out, and they were all signed together. And of course, on the back of it, probably to, among other things, I don't know if it's high, but there's a second layer. All of the loose threads or but some of those other bits aren't on the presenting side. Still here. They're still a part of it. In fact, the blanket wouldn't be if those things even go to here. So it's like this blanket is an expression of the life of this church. It's the weaving and knitting together of life. And it represents the weaving and knitting many years as people have found a home here, found whanaunatanga and manaakitanga in this place, and sought together in their own stumbling fashion to knit together in the way of Jesus. And so this is a beautiful garment. I have it in my office, and I've got it over one of my chairs. So when people come to visit me, I invite them often to sit in this chair and to sit in the company of the people whom we share our life with. And to be wrapped around, as it were, in that place by the community that they're a part of or maybe that they're visiting. And sometimes when I sit on it, I rub the texture. I just feel the texture. If it's winter and it's cold, I sometimes put it over my legs in the office to stay warm. And I think of the people who have knitted this. I think of the people who I am knitted into as a part of this community. And I think of the work of God in knitting us together and how important that is. Some of you have heard me speak about Tom J. Ord, and his definition of love is the intentional and empathic response to the other for the purpose of their well-being and their flourishing. And I love that little description because every knit in this garment is representative to me of moments when people have responded intentionally and empathically to others in order to contribute to their wellness and their flourishing. And the text that we look at today is one which invites us to explore that a little further. Is anybody feeling cold and want to wear this morning? Or maybe just put it over your knees? Anyone want to? Yep. So this lovely little image of a tapestry or a blanket
is in this text that was read this morning to us by Anna. And thank you, Anna, for reading it so well for us. Paul says in it, I want you woven into a tapestry of love in touch with everything there is to know of God. And he's expressing this this deep, deep desire, which is resonant with the heart of the God who has created this world in love, to have these people knitted together in love in the way of Christ. And I've been thinking about that this morning, and I've been thinking about Paul, this church that he wrote to. It's interesting when you look at some of the different versions in the English language of this particular passage. In the Message, we read, I want you woven into a tapestry of love. In the Voice, which is another English version, it's translated or interpreted, I'm working hard to comfort and encourage the church so that they will be knit together, that many hearts would become one through his love. And in the New Living, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. So this is this dream, this desire, this stated intent of Paul for this Christian community. And Paul himself is a bit of a weaver as he's writing the letter, because he begins the letter, as he typically does, not always, but typically, with an affirmation of who the people are. In Colossians 1:5, he says, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, for we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and your love for all God's people. And he talks about grace and peace, wanting grace and peace to be upon them as well, and calls himself a dear fellow. He refers to the love of the Spirit that has been given to all people. Some people call us, and then at the end of the letter, he finishes also with the phrase, grace to you. So there's this approach that some people call the sandwich approach from Paul. He begins with affirmation and encouragement, affirming this bond of relationship with them, and he finishes also with grace at the end. Unmerited regard and goodness and favor, and finishing with the same thing. And then putting between it instruction and teaching and various other things. So he seeks to write in a way which, if you like, is a weaving together of elements of love or threads of love. And as many of you know, Paul himself was an artisan. He was a craftsman. He was a tent maker. That was the craft that he had learnt. And as a tent maker, he knew how to sew textiles and materials together to create what was critical shelter and also gathering places for people. So he knew how important it was to make those stitches strong, even within the context of his own craft. And so in writing to this church, he's able to draw, among other things, off this experience he has as an artisan, as a tradesperson, and seeking to ensure that the church understands the importance of this work of weaving in its life. Many of you are aware that the term or the word rangatira in Te Reo Māori is a word which not only refers to a chief or a leader, but is associated with the ability to weave and unite people. The word's derived from the words ranga and tira. And ranga means to weave and tira means the group. So the role of a rangatira is to weave the group together, to be able to bring the collective together in unity. So in a sense, Paul in this letter is writing as a rangatira, wanting them to weave their lives together. I've referenced the fact before that in church community, sadly, sometimes a gathering of people like this is more like a bag of marbles than it is a block of Lego, or if you like, a woven blanket. A group of people whose lives touch at the smallest points, and often with a little sense of connectedness together. Paul's saying to this community, I don't just want you gathering with minimal touch points in your life. I want you to find ways of weaving your life together in love, of genuinely connecting and caring. And of course, that presents all kinds of challenges for many of us. When we step into becoming part of a community, we carry our uncertainties and our worries and our insecurities and our trauma. We carry stories of being in other places where we have been treated in ways that have left us deeply suspicious, deeply wary of connecting. So all of that is often at work, but Paul still says, nonetheless, the Spirit's intention is to knit our lives together into a wholesome fabric of love. I don't think Paul does his weaving well in every instance. Sometimes, in my opinion, he drops knots and breaks threads. I don't, however, doubt the intention that he carries or the love for the people that he writes to. And I'm sure, too, if I got the log out of my own eye and understood his context better, I'd see threads of grace where I currently can't see them. Somebody once said that the Christian church, particularly the modern Western Christian church, has a propensity to engage in chronological snobbery. This idea that we are the people who have arrived at the best understanding and the best understanding of who God is and the best way to practice it. And prior generations really didn't do it well, and they didn't know what they're talking about it. So we can be dismissive of those who have gone before, including these ones who wrote these letters in the early Christian church. And I wonder sometimes if I'm just too much of a chronological snob, a bit too impressed with my own knowledge, experience, and far too dismissive of the insights and experience of earlier generations of Christ followers. You don't have to live very close to me to know that I haven't got it all together. And when we look in the mirror, we're seeing similar specimens. And so there's this just sense here that, yes, Paul is not representing himself as the perfect embodiment of a weaver, but he is saying, that is my commitment to you as a community, to help you weave your lives together into a tapestry of love. And I love the way you, my Island Baptist whānau, weave threads of love into our lives together. Because often I'm the one who's on the receiving end of that connection, and I get to see it. Sometimes in simple ways, sometimes in more profound ways. Being listened to by somebody who gets past the how are you to how really are you getting on question and wants to know why and waits patiently without interrupting or trying to fix me. I love the moments when I encounter people in those ways in the life of this church and I go, there goes a weaver. There goes somebody who's stitching love into the fabric of our life together. Somebody who's stitching it into my heart. And I see so many, many ways where araha mai, araha atu, love is being given and love is being received. And there's this reciprocal change of love within the life of the church. Just this week, I heard of someone who was going through a challenging time in their own world and someone dropped some flowers off to them. Someone who is opening up their home to an overseas student who is looking for a place to land and stay and be. Someone who got some help with moving house. Someone who had a meal cooked. Someone feeling isolated who had a visit from someone in the church whānau to help bring some warmth and connection and love into their space. And I know last weekend there were a bunch of you who got an unexpected thrill on a jet boat ride thanks to an invitation. I'm sure there wasn't much talking done on that jet boat ride due to frozen lips. You know, I remember going on the shot over jet in the middle of winter and our kids, when we got back, most of them couldn't talk properly because their lips were just about frozen together as a result of the cold and the gorge as we were going on it. But these are some of the kinds of things that happen. People extending hospitality to each other, whanaunatanga, manaakitanga. People dropping off meals in stressful times, helping each other shift house, organising bike rides and hunting trips and ski trips and tramps, going for walks and coffee together. making homes and bikes and cars available to others to use, and trusting those to other people, helping with repairs of homes and property, spending time reading and reflecting and praying together, knitting, weaving. And it's just lovely to be a part of a community that understands how important this is. It knows that there's intentionality and there's empathy that's required. It's not a perfect garment. You know, if we flip our garment round and it hasn't got a lovely back stitched on it, as that one was, we'll see all of the bits of thread and the knots and the broken places. That's part of the reality. It's part of the picture. But it's part of this tapestry of love. So our tapestry is not perfect. There are loose and broken threads. There are stains and worn patches in the fabric. And maybe even a little bit of what someone once called coininitis. Oh, what a horrible, horrible diagnostic that is. So it's just kind of this idea that koinonia is this word that's used in the New Testament to describe fellowship and connectedness. But sometimes that becomes too tight. It's knitted in communities and new people coming in. They may feel initially welcome, but they don't really feel wanted. They may feel there might be a place, but they don't feel that they are in place. And I wonder sometimes if newcomers to our life who don't maybe fit the more common social demographic or political perspective, theological view or faith stage find it more difficult coming into our life. And Wairuatapu, Holy Spirit is bringing other people into our lives. And those of us who've been a part of the place for longer are needing to loosen up the threads of our life to create room for them so they too can be stitched in. Gently, lovingly, in response to who they are, not an imposition, but helping them to find that they can be part of this tapestry of love that Wairuatapu is building. So I wonder what some of the invitations are from this this text for us. I want to suggest there's an invitation to take time and celebrate the threads of love that do exist. Let's have a strength-based approach to this. Let's go and ask God to open up our eyes to the places where love is being woven together. Sometimes in our staff meetings, we ask ourselves the question, where are we seeing love flowing in our life together? And then we'll name some of the places and the people where we're seeing that happen. So where are the threads being woven in our life together? Where are the opportunities in your world of people where you can thread the needle of grace within your own home, within your neighborhood, within your workplace, amongst your fellow students or your colleagues? Especially where are the people who sit on the margins of those spaces for whom it's harder to be knitted in? Where you can extend yourself, trusting God to enable you in some way, albeit imperfectly, to draw those people in. And maybe there's a space within the garment where you've dropped a thread or broken a thread and you're aware of it, but you're not sure how to pick that back up again. Maybe you feel like I might need a little bit of help with that. Find courage to perhaps ask for help or just take the initiative to move to that place and repair the place in the garment where the tapestry threatens to come apart. There's a wonderful, wonderful invitation here. What a beautiful image Paul gives us. You know, I want you to be woven together into a tapestry of love. Far, far, far too many Christian churches or those professing to be Christian are not weaving together tapestries of love, but of hostility and exclusion and even violence and hatred. Paul says, and Jesus invites us into this garment, this ecosystem of being a tapestry of love. He's echoing the desire and the dream of Jesus, and he's calling us to inhabit and enhance this particular way of being in the world. So the invitation, as I see it this morning, is just to listen to Wairuatapu, listen to this invitation to follow the way of Christ, to weave these threads of grace into our relationships with each other and those that God has placed in our world. Someone once pointed out to me in my early days of stumbling along trying to follow Jesus, follow the way of Jesus in the world, that it's very easy to run or walk right over the bodies of the people who God has already placed in your world, trying to find someone to love for God. And some lifting up our eyes is simply, who are the people who are already here in my world and in my life that I can take the needle and the thread of grace and weave into the tapestry with? And the other beautiful thing about being part of this tapestry is it's something we do together. We don't have to be on our own. So often we can feel alone in this. But if we can find our way bravely towards others who can help us with this knitting, then we will find ourselves becoming more proficient at it. What a beautiful, beautiful blanket. Thank you, whānau. All of you who knitted this for us, and it can sit as this tangible reminder of what God is doing in our life together. Let's seek in our life together, in this stage of our journey, to flesh that out and make it even more real and beautiful than what we currently have. Where's Mel? Thanks, Mel.